This is tape number 3 on October the 4th, 1992.
He's getting really good. Just about the time he gets it down, we change the month or the year or something. Anyway, our whole defense, we knew this would come. And yes, we could have said in the beginning, it's going to be like this. And none of you would be here, because if we had said you're going to write 63 books in 36 months, we're going to turn out a 200 plus page book every 3 weeks, a 40 page paper every week, and all of the other stuff that has to be done, how many would have believed it? How many would be sitting here today? You would have just taken off. These are the flakiest bunch of nitwits I have ever encountered. It's hard enough to look back. But to see that your work is important enough that the adversary will not just send in the heavy-duty troops, because by the time you make it to the Committee of 300, you're pretty important on this plane. And anybody putting a seedbed of $215 million to squelch 6 volumes of Time magazine, aren't you a little curious what would have been in those particular monthly editions? But by doing it this way, it is dated truth magazines, journals. And you should hear what the adversary, attorney, Kazarian, gets up and says. We do not agree that these are true. Oh, not true. Well, we mean, you say you get it from ETs. At this point, the judge is about to choke. And then he starts to say something, and the idiot with the mouth starts to correct the judge, and he said, I know that, but I find it very interesting. Now I want to hear about this. Well, then he says, well, what I mean is, and then it must hit him, it's either truth or it's not. Well, then he goes on with his gobbledygook about how his is truth, but ours is not. But we have copied every word from them. Now, we have, like, what, Oberle, 2,000 pages to 100 or 200 at the most of theirs. This is like Bill Cooper saying, they plagiarized 50 pages verbatim. And his whole document was 26 pages, double-spaced. And so our attorney says, Your Honor, they cannot have it both ways. Either it's this way or it's that way, but they can't have it both ways. Well, the judge says, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. We'll let them have half of it their way. You have an adversarial court system. They are out to stop you. But you have to make them rule against you. Do you see that in this particular case, in the beginning, they would have been very happy just for Dorman Oberle to say, I won't write anymore. Well, she wasn't writing anymore anyway. We were through with those. We're through with that. We will never go back to that way. It served its purpose. It pulled them right up out of the woodwork. And you're going to end up with a constitutional law case that will beat the Scopes trial and the Darwin. If your world holds together long enough to quarrel over it. It would be far easier this day. And if George hadn't played footsie with them, we'd already be farther down the trail without quite so much money invested. This will be the most important material ever to come before man. And they had managed to bury it, you see, into confusion and Lao's metaphysical drivel. This is what they can't stand, is because I have denounced Lao. Lao Russell came into Walter Russell's life as an adversarial person. She didn't know this, and she felt she was a lighted being.
She was a woman, wasn't she, that he married?
Yes.
I met her one time. That's how I got that 1947 book.
She's a beautiful woman. That's even more unfortunate. He was an artist. And she informed him that they were twin flames, soul brothers, soul lovers. He was nearly 80, and he was lonely, and he was broke, and he was tired. Does this make Lao evil? No. She had been schooled in what you would call the New Age environment. She was and claimed to be, and the 20 pages missing out of that original manuscript told the truth of it. Walter Russell taught about God. That is spiritual. Lao Russell said, I am a humanist. Now, I don't care what kind of a definition you want to put on that. That means I am a humanist. Physical oriented. What does it take to make the human into a more divine being? The human will never be the divine being. The human can only contribute to the spiritual, which is the divineness. So she began to write the biographies. And slowly it got integrated in there that soul was Walter Russell, a humanist. And that is the way it comes out today. That is what will be presented to you today. That Mary Baker Eddy was the only one who ever had the truth, according to Walter Russell, according to Lao. You were dealing with humanists. That's all right for the human. And I know what you're saying. Yes, but they reached up, and their whole thrust was metaphysical truth, reaching for higher understanding, higher guidance. So the work was basically buried. And it moved into a metaphysical experience. You go down there, and yes, you do look at all of these things, and everybody comes out not understanding one iota of what they have heard. And you have paid a goodly portion of your funds to experience, and it's a tremendously good experience. You learn to meditate, you learn to do a lot of things, but you don't learn what God is. And God does not ever hide that truth under a bushel and go forth and have court cases trying to ban the information. Because you see, if they read the books, which our own attorneys had not done, so how can you fight a case if you don't even know what you're talking about? You will find that we give you the truth of it without the hypothetical gobbledygook of it. And yet, to understand it, you have got to set aside this conscious critical mind to do it, to hear it, to receive it. The adversary just got better at it than you. He learned to mesmerize you in his own way. So everything he feeds you in a state of trance. And actually, the greatest favor that I could do for anyone in this room is just to put all of you into a trance and then program you. But you have to go back out there into that contradictory world. But that's exactly what's happened to you. You are programmed. You are programmed to act exactly like you act. And the only way you're going to unprogram it is through that inner mind. Because, see, all the while that you're sitting here listening, you are still critiquing everything I say. The interesting thing is, if I just hypnotized you, you would quit critiquing. You would accept anything I tell you. Well, that's not what we're about. We're not about being robotoids. We are about learning our responsibility in this format, because this is where you have to serve, and this is where I'm coming to serve. And somewhere we've got to integrate. And yes, I can use robotoids. I've got a lot of them. I've even got robotoids who serve aboard ship. And they have the right to grow and regain soul. Yes, you may.
I've noticed a pattern in the way this Walter Russell information came out. I ran across it way back in 1947, and they even saw to it that I left work. I had to leave work early and drive down to these people and meet Lau, and they needed some money to buy some books, and they sold me some books. But the thing that surprised me was, this is all well planned ahead of time. Did you have something to do with that?
Well,
it is all too pat.
It really would be nice if you wouldn't ask me questions like that. Because each one of you are beginning to experience these too well planned. Why would, you know, this comes across Dorma's mind, and I hear what you're saying, John, because it's the same thing. You didn't know what you were doing. She didn't know what she was doing. Ed Young didn't know what he was doing. These children don't know what they're doing. And yet, 5 years later, 10 years later, you get that sneaking suspicion that was set up.
That's right.
How many of you think about it, that you would be in an experience where you would be just about the worst enemy that somebody of the stature, and I'm talking about international stature of a Henry Kissinger, that Dorma gets on the number one spot on his list to take out? He hates her worse than anyone on the planet. Means he's pretty mad at something. Now, how would you ones get that close to that entity? How would you ones get close enough to really have a corresponding relationship with Ross Perot? You do, you know. You have ones that aren't in this room, but who know him and could pick up that phone and get him. How many of you ever thought you would be in a position where Commander writes two paragraphs and Bo Greitz is here on Sunday? From Friday. How many of you ever thought from the little cane field or cornfield in Texas that you would end up here in Tehachapi in the King's service? And yet something tells you that everything along the way had to be exactly like it was to get you right here to this point right now. And doesn't that happen to everyone? Yes. But you know what? Ones get to a certain point and then they peel off. The kitchen gets too hot, or they get too shaken up, or their nerves won't take it anymore. And that's why they end up to be, appearing to be, so few. But indeed, before you ever came to this place, you knew how it would be. And it's creepy. I know that it's creepy. I know that it's hard to deal with this. To realize that your experiences have been so remarkable. And because you are experiencing them, you look around you and you say, well, boy, they certainly have an exciting life and I don't. Well, anymore, I think that most of you feel like this is about it. I mean, you know, for relatively speaking, things happen here as fast as they do anywhere else. But yes, you're going to find, if you ponder it, little triggers will happen, and you will know that you were a child. John can easily think back over many instances where he was pulled into service, not realizing it possibly at the moment, sometimes realizing it very quickly. Does it make it easier now? Not really. Because you're still faced with all the human things. And whatever you think gives proof doesn't. Proof only comes from within and knowing. And you get that when you have achieved the Christness. And even he said, Father, why have you left me? Why have you left me when I need you the most? Had God gone anywhere? No. But doubt had come in. And those are the choices. Did God, let us just assume that this man was put on a cross. I don't want to get into the quarrels that come with was he, did he. You have to come into some knowledge that almost all of the books written as your instruction books were written by your enemy. So let's not talk about this godly man except as it's presented. Do you think God would have pinned him on that cross? Would you put one of your children on a cross? Let us assume you like them. I tell you, it would be very hard even if you hate them. Some people in their right minds, or wrong minds, crazy minds, will abuse a child in the heat of anger or whatever, frustration usually, insecurity, I don't know what to do with you. So bam. And you have a being, a Christed being with the capability of ascension. Do you think that man had to be on that cross? So right up through whatever experience, let us assume it happened, whatever experience took place was the choice of that being. And some of you think, but I'm making the wrong choice. I'm going to the cross. And I don't want to. I did that. Because you're going to sense in your journey that you did that. You stood at the stake while they burned you. In Dorma's instance, upside down on a cross and burned. These are the experiences that are going to come back to you. And you'll say, Father, I want to serve, but I don't want to do that again. Well, aren't you lucky? It's been done. You don't have to. But you have to come into your understanding enough to know that you can release it and nothing else, nobody, nothing, no crystals, no poof powder. You have to do it. And when you know that you can do it, you can turn this world around. Because there is nothing that can stand in that kind of power. You have to also know that most of you came agreeing that you would not use that power. That you would put aside your power because you've made your journey, you've done those things, you don't have to do them again. But some of the ones that you are here to lead have to do those things, whatever they might be. So let's put it now into a very human category of, let us say, a president acting out under constitutional law. And the law says freedom for an abortion. Your godness does not have any right to squelch that. Because you did not take the job of presidency, usually anymore. It's always separation of God from anything. I'm talking about really God, not what they're saying. Number one, if you were that godly, you would not take that job, I'll tell you. But if you take that job and you make your statement up front, then it's up to the people, isn't it? So this is purely hypothetical. But let us say you get to be president and the law says that this is all right. This is where a Bogreitz will say, I don't believe in that. But as president, I will go to my death defending your right. You see, you have to know the difference. And the world has to be turned about based on the laws of God, so that that does not become a question. And you say, what is the difference? Tell us about Pleiades. Tell us about. It is the dimension of experience, the level of growth. It is not a place. If you ones were all over on a planet in Pleiades, it'd be exactly like it is here today, because that's the only experience you know. Except for you teachers who are coming back here to serve. And if you get so confused that you can't serve properly, then you've got a real mess, because you are misleading those who you have come to serve. And your adversary gets to laugh twice as hard on the way to the bank, because he's got them and the guy. Don't you think they're having fun with poor little Jay-Z? She's just a little human. And you can tell what they're fighting over as to what's the matter. A man is taking her into court to get more alimony when he's got AIDS that he has spread to God only knows how many of her followers. Not over God. Oh, he says, oh, well, there's no Ramtha. How many of you read the early days of Ramtha? Don't tell me there was no Ramtha. And don't tell me that Ramtha wasn't of God. This is the trap. This is the trap. Over and over and over, this is the trap. And you can all fall into it. And I know that you don't feel strong. And I know that some of you don't feel you have the privilege of falling into it. Well, I don't care how you keep out of it. If you feel that you don't have the privilege, then fine. Well, you won't let me fall into it. I sure won't. Not as long as you hold on to my hand. But if you turn loose, I don't have any right to fish you out. And you see, when things began to go wrong, Ramtha said, I cannot work. This is being distorted. And the child said, but I'm so tired. And they all want from me. God doesn't line you up and put blindfolds on your eyes and make you run around the yard with or without clothes. God does not do foolish, silly tricks. You have to learn to discern. One of the first books along this line of exchange of communication that I insisted these one have was Ramtha. another one more Seth speaks. And then came one of Edgar Casey's. You can go back into Edgar Casey's books now on healing. And you'll find that what he recommended for various and sundry symptoms will fit the need that you have right now to counter these viruses. You're going to go back to the real communication with God, or the nation and the planet will not survive as you know it. There isn't any other way to put it. And if ones don't like it, I cannot help it. And they can refuse to read the material. And this is what happens. And this breaks up families and marriages. Well, I ask you, if your wife or your husband doesn't respect you enough to even listen to what you have to say, what kind of a relationship do you have? Sex? You're probably misusing it too. Communication? You have no communication. If you can't respect one another even enough to hear what's in the heart of the other and then respect it. So do you sacrifice all that you are for that one? Think very carefully about it. Because if you give up your spiritual truth for the human element, listen to what I say, the human element that is demanding of you money, you discipline the kids, you do this, you do that, and it's all physical. We'll make love, but every Thursday, no more, no less. It's wrong. You're doing it for the wrong reason. Well, I just want to express my love for you. I've just had a fifth of vodka, and I feel very loving. You see, you laugh because you understand. That's what humor is, you know. Or you owe it to me. Or, well, I want something, I'll be nice. If it is based on the physical, you can negotiate. But if you compromise your soul growth for that physical demand, and there's a difference, and if that one refuses to even look into what you have that means something to you on a spiritual level, not just because it's a better way to go, you see, you have to grow into that. Well, can't we just talk about it? No. It's like the secretary, oh, don't even touch me with it. It'll rub off. Oh, wouldn't we be lucky if it would? Wouldn't we be lucky if truth were as contagious as AIDS?
Excuse me, Commander. Need to turn the tape.
We're getting there, people. We only have half hour.